May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 641. Jesus, mighty God and Saviour, lead me forth by thy right hand, and be it my fixed endeavour to obey thy sweet command. Let me never at a trifling distance stand. Hymn 641.
Read together from the Word of God from two portions of Scripture. First, from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, reading the first 9 verses, and then from Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 2. First, reading together from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17. And the first 9 verses. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 2. Second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, reading together from chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God, hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. May the Lord bless those two portions of his word of truth to us and help us in prayer. O Lord, our God, merciful, kind, and gracious unto us, we do thank thee, Lord, that we are so favoured and so blessed that we can indeed call upon thy name, and that thou art our God and our Father. O Lord, what great mercy, Lord, doth belong to those indeed who hath God to be their Father. One reconciled unto God, one indeed of the children of God, the children of his grace, and the children indeed who call upon his name, and as we do now. O Lord, we do thank thee for the grace that came and changed us and renewed us and brought us to thyself, that grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that grace that is in his gospel, that grace that is in the salvation that he wrought for sinners at Calvary's tree. And Lord, that is the wonderment of God's grace, the grace that is shown to us in the especial and unspeakable gift of his dearly beloved Son into this world, and that he should come and seek out and save lost sinners, and that he should suffer, bleed, and die for them. O Lord, as we come before thee at this time, we would seek to give praise and blessing to thy name for the wonders of thy grace unto lost, ruined sinners, undone sinners, sinners who were out of the way, and yet sinners recovered, sinners brought back, the backslider brought back, and all this is our mercy. And, O Lord, we do pray that each one of us here who have known and been blessed with this special blessing, even that salvation through the blood and righteousness of Jesus, that we might give praise and glory to thy name. But, Lord, we pray for each and every one in this assembly of thy people. We pray that each and every one indeed might be brought also into that new and that living way in the Lord Jesus Christ, and where Jesus is indeed the way, the truth, and the life, that there should be none that should be lost, Lord, none that should fall short of that mark, of that high calling of our God in Christ Jesus. Oh, thou knowest how that we pray, Lord, for those that gather together, and we pray that they may each be true seekers in Zion, and that, Lord, thou hast drawn them into the courts of thy house this day, that they may have some hope, some expectation, some favour and some word from Thee, that Thou hast saved and redeemed them. O Lord, we do pray for the salvation of sinners. And Lord, from the youngest to the eldest in this assembly, we pray, Lord, that salvation may come unto each and every one. O Lord, may it be that in this dark and evil day in which we live, that there may be yet known and realized the blessing of that truth even unto he that is Shiloh, even the Lord Jesus Christ, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be, Lord, a people that were not a people, but are now the people of God. That gathering in through the gospel. Lord, these things we truly seek and pray for this day. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt, Lord, remove from any one of us, Lord, any hardness and any rebellion, any indifference, Lord, in our hearts as we come to the means of grace. And any, Lord, that have come, Lord, and who desired really and truly not to be here, yet, Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt, Lord, put a desire in their hearts for Thyself. So, Lord, these things we pray for, and that there shall not any be left in this place, Lord, to be as those that we have read together, that portion of the damned. O Lord, do undertake, do come amongst us, Lord, and revive Thy work in the midst of the years, and in the midst of the years make known, in wrath remember mercy. Oh, that mercy that is found with our God, that mercy in the pardon and the forgiveness of sins through the person of His dearly beloved Son, for who is a God like unto Thee, that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage, who retaineth not His anger for ever, but delighteth in mercy. Lord, may we each know that mercy this day. It is a great mercy, Lord, to come to Thy house and to be found at Thy feet and be blessed with an hearing ear and an understanding heart. And oh, may it be the prayer of each one of us at this time, Lord, open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law, or out of Thy gospel. Oh, that it become a law of liberty indeed to our poor souls. And oh, that we might know that full and free salvation that is in Jesus. And oh, that we might be those, Lord, before Thee, ready to hear, ready to receive Thy word, a receptive heart through grace. And oh, we do pray, Lord, this day, as we come to Thy house of prayer, visit each and every one of us, Lord. Thou knowest each one of us. Thou knowest our hearts. Thou knowest our condition. Thou knowest, Lord, that we're poor, needy sinners, Lord. Thou knowest, Lord, that in and of ourselves we cannot attain unto the things of the Spirit. But come, Lord, in Thy power, arrest each of our souls. Bring them to Thyself, Lord. And, Lord, as the sun shineth in the heavens at this time, so let the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings in our poor souls, to cause our souls to live upon Jesus, to live upon the blessedness of His word and His truth, to live upon His promises, to live by faith upon Him in all our way and path here below. O Lord, do come, we pray thee, and bless us with the comforts of the gospel of Jesus. And oh, may we know a refreshing and a renewing in our souls as we seek to approach unto thee. Lord, bring us, we pray thee, to contemplate the blessing of those things that thou wilt reveal to us in the scriptures, the greatness of the love of God to sinners, the greatness of his mercy towards them, the greatness of the blessing of his word and his truth in our hearts, the greatness of that worship unto him, a love and devotion to him. Lord, show to us the favours and the blessings that belong to thy people, all through the person of thy dearly beloved Son. Lord, come then, we pray thee, meet our case and our need in the gospel. Lord, whatever our need is at this time, there is none, Lord, that is too far gone and too far out of the way whereby mercy may be found. O, where sin abounds, let thy grace much more abound. So, Lord, we pray, come to each one of us, and Lord, feed our souls with the bread of life in Christ Jesus. Oh, that bread that is of more importance and more need than our necessary food, may it be so at this time, Lord, to feast upon thy name, upon thy person, upon thy merits, upon all that thou didst come to do for poor needy sinners at Calvary's tree. Help us to contemplate, Lord, we know that we cannot come, Lord, into the depth and into the darkness that thou didst pass through in respect of the wounds, the bruises, and Lord, that sufferings that thou didst pass through. We can only but, Lord, come into that a portion of it, as we know that our sins were pardoned through thy sufferings and death. But, O Lord, we do pray that we may each know a little of that humbling of our hearts before thee, that thou didst do it even for us. O Lord, we pray thee then, bring us near to thyself. Bring us, Lord, that we might each at this time know what it is for our poor souls to be expanded upon thy word, upon thy love, upon thy grace. For Lord, how rich is thy word, how rich is thy grace, and how rich is thy word unto poor needy sinners, and oh, to make them rich and to know the truth that they have a treasure in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. Lord, be with us then each, we pray thee. We thank thee, Lord, thou hast brought us through the scenes of the week that is now past. Oh, we can bear testimony, Lord, to thy long-suffering towards us. Oh, we confess, Lord, to many failings, to many shortcomings, Lord. And Lord, we have to confess, we cannot keep our hearts and our minds stayed upon thee. We're often forgetful of thee, Lord. Often, Lord, turned aside. Often, Lord, overtaken with much, Lord, of things round about us. And we forget thee, Lord. Oh, we do thank thee, Lord, for thy forbearance towards us, and that thou dost show mercy. But we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast brought us through the scenes of this week, and now of that past week, and now brought us to another Lord's Day. Lord, help us to come upon this Thy day into that gospel rest and peace in our souls, even revealing Christ to us in His love, in His word and truth. And we do pray, Lord, that Thy word may be profitable to us, to do us good, to build us up, to edify us, a little strength with all might through the Spirit in the inner man. O Lord, come to all our help and all our need at this time, and do unto us the good that Thou seest us to stand in need of. Do watch over Thy church and Thy people here, Lord, as they gather together week by week in Thy name. Draw near, Lord, to all their needs, both temporally, but, oh, importantly, spiritually and in their souls. Oh, do hear all the prayers and the petitions that are offered up in this Thy house of prayer, Lord. Oh, be unto them prayer hearing and prayer answering. And Lord, Thou hast promised that Thou wilt, Lord, hear the prayers of the destitute. So, Lord, do hear and do give answers of peace. And Lord, we pray, look down upon this little gathering. Continue, Lord, in Thy promises towards them, that where the twos and the threes gather together, Thou hast promised to be with them and in the midst. And Lord, it is so important this day that Thou come, Lord, and be present and where Thy people are, and oh, Thy Spirit to come upon them, to grant true worship. And Lord, we seek that this blessing indeed may be theirs. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt come then to all their needs. And Lord, may it be that in this place, oh, that there Thy work of grace shall continue. Oh, that, Lord, there shall be those souls that shall be brought into an exercise of faith in respect, Lord, of their salvation. O Lord, these things we pray for, a gathering in, Lord, into Thy kingdom. Lord, may it be that Thou wilt appear in Thy rich mercy. And we pray, Lord, this day help each and every one to live by faith upon Thee, to serve Thee in their day and generation, to know, Lord, not only these times of visitation here in the means of grace, but also in our own homes. O Lord, we do pray that there may be a continuity in prayer and praise, that there may be in our homes, Lord, still that desire and affection for Thy name, lifting up our hearts to Thee in desire and a love for Thy word, Lord, the scriptures of truth. O Lord, we do pray for these mercies. May our homes indeed be little Bethels unto each one of us, and where we shall be enabled to record Thy visitations to us. So be with us each now, Lord. We pray as we gather together. Do grant hearing ears to Thy people, Lord. And we pray, help Thy servant to speak in Thy name at this time. O Lord, we stand in Thy pulpit, Lord, and we are conscious, Lord, it is Thy pulpit. And oh, we do pray, Lord, that the creature indeed shall decrease and Christ increase through the pulpit. Oh, let Thy word be poured forth through Thy Spirit, through this earthen vessel, Lord. Let it prove to be a rich treasure in the hearts of Thy people here, that it shall be to Thy honour and to Thy glory. And we do pray, Lord, that our gathering together shall indeed be profitable to us, and Thy word prosper whereto Thou wilt send it. So, Lord, we pray, draw near to us. Undertake for each and every one of us. We pray for the young that gather together, Lord. We would not forget them, Lord. Oh, that thou wilt keep them, Lord. Oh, that the word, Lord, may be effectual in their young hearts, a beginning, Lord, and a drawing, Lord, of the influence of thy grace in them, that they may be those, Lord, whom thou hast an eternal purpose unto. Lord, these things we pray for. Be with us now then, Lord. Pardon all that is sinful and amiss with us. Subdue all sin. Let not sin have dominion over us. And we seek and ask these mercies in and through the name and person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 305. The souls that would to Jesus press must fix this firm and sure, that tribulation, more or less, they must and shall endure. Hymn 305.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, and reading from verse 13. The second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, reading from verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and a belief of the truth. Paul, we do believe, was truly instrumental in the hands of the Lord. We read together from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, whereby and through the preaching of Paul, the Lord used him as an instrument of usefulness in his hands, the preaching of the gospel, bearing testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom came salvation to sinners, and the Lord moved their hearts, worked in them with power and through his Spirit to change them and to show to them their need as sinners, and drew them to Christ for salvation through his cross. This is a wonderful mercy. We do believe that it was the forming of the church at Thessalonica. But oh, the blessing that came to them. We have the truth in the words of our text. But I just want to lead up to the words of our text. For in this chapter 2 of Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians, we have some very solemn truths. And may the Lord reveal to us and show to us the solemn error that is in the world today, but oh, the blessing to show to us that there is a people called by grace and a people separated by the grace of God, a people who would serve him love him, and with the fear of the Lord in their hearts to keep them close unto him. We are informed again that the Lord is coming and will appear the second time upon the earth, and it is incumbent upon us to watch and to pray against that time. How often has it been in our prayers in this last week that the Lord is coming again? And that he has bidden us to watch and to pray in respect of that time. Have we got some hope and some expectation that it shall be well with us? Has it been in our prayers this past week? It has been on my mind. I pray that it will always be on my mind, because it will be a day that we know not, even as a thief in the night, when he shall appear. And so, isn't it incumbent upon us to pray and to watch for the day of his appearing? But the Lord, through his Spirit, has informed us in this chapter here that we've read together of something very solemn beforehand, before that he will come again, something most solemn. And may we take heed to these words. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Well, dear friends, a falling away, isn't that evident today? A falling away? Truly, how many seek the Lord today to worship him in spirit and in truth, whose love and devotion is entirely towards the Lord, and who seek to glorify him, whose desire is to be found at his feet. Dear friends, this day, the day in which we live, truly that day has come, falling away first. How very few are worshipping the Lord this day. Think of this land of ours. I'm very thankful for our denomination. You see, I do believe that they are a people separated by grace unto God himself. But we shall need to be kept. We shall need to be kept. Satan is filled with all craft and all subtlety, and ready to turn the hearts and minds of each one of us from the Lord, and to turn the hearts even of those who may be seeking him this day. You see, an easy believism that is about today, and all manner of faiths also that is about today, a great falling away, and it's a falling away from truth. It's a falling away from doctrine. It's a falling away from the scriptures that we have, that the Lord God has given to us. It is a falling away from this, the gospel of Jesus. For it is the written, the incarnate word, a falling away. How many hold fast and are steadfast to this truth, to the gospel that we have got today. Satan is crafty, and we have read much of his dealings in the hymn that we have just sung together. But I just want to connect this verse 3, where there shall become a falling away, just to verse 10 and 11. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. It seems to be the will of God, doesn't it? There's the will of God in this. His purpose. That he shall send strong delusion. That he should leave them to a reprobate mind. That they should believe and receive all error of truth. That is the solemn word, isn't it? And it is with us today. A reprobate mind. And where God is forsaken, his word and his truth. But I just thought I would just look at one of the commentators in respect of this verse here, giving them strong delusion. We may have heard and often of late, and it is true, a withholding of the Spirit. Well, I just thought I would read one of the of those indeed who who look into these truths. And this strong delusion, it means denying his grace. It means withholding light and knowledge. It means withholding his Spirit. Well, dear friends, there is a connection here. We concern ourselves a withholding of the Spirit. We want the Spirit. We want the Spirit to come with power and unction, dear friends, amongst us as a denomination, and amongst us here as a church and people. Because, friends, it is that alone which will be the keeping power of our souls unto God himself. You see, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And, oh, we must look to this, dear friends. We must look to our faith and our religion. It comes from heaven. It comes through the Trinity of persons, that blessed and glorious Trinity, yes, a mystery, but received with faith in our hearts. You see, I'll open up this truth short in just a moment. But oh, this truth here, strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And friends, we see all the faiths, and of course, this son of perdition who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Most of the commentators point to the Church of Rome. And friends, he sitteth as God, doesn't he? The Pope of Rome. Infallible, dear me. And a man came to my door yesterday morning. He had a booklet in his hand. It said Armageddon on it. He was trying to draw the hearts of people up and down the street, you see, saying that this day of judgment is coming. What a way. Anyway, I showed him a few things, what I knew and what I knew from the scriptures. And he went away rather quickly. He said, but at least, he said, we both got faith, haven't we? I said, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I said, I don't know whether you've got a God-given faith or not. You see, that's another important truth, isn't it? God-given faith. That faith to believe and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the last portion of our word in our text, and belief of the truth. I did not believe at all that he had that faith, that God-given faith. I believe he was one of these that have been deceived here. Jehovah's Witness. You see, they haven't got the scriptures of truth. We're blessed with this. And the Lord has given to us a faith to walk in the light and truth of it, to follow in his steps, to adhere to him and to serve him, you see. And then this strong delusion, dear friends, it is about us today. But the words of my text, oh, they bring about such a difference. And this is the difference that we have today. I know that we pray about this withholding of the Spirit. We must not forget this strong delusion that is in the land. It appears that that strong delusion is a truth in respect of God's will. You see, in verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Dear friends, the Lord has established a punishment for all sin and for all the workers of iniquity and for all those that oppose the truth. There is a place and a punishment reserved for them. I just come to my mind that, I know I may have quoted it before, but it is a truth that what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. You see, vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. A place of punishment reserved for those whose hearts and minds are given to all error, to all untruth. Strong delusion. Dear friends, my prayer is this. To pray that the Lord will work in and amongst us and mightily. And yes, we do not know whom the Lord will come and redeem and save. Maybe the stranger without. Mustn't forget that truth. There are some whom I know and I'm acquainted with And dear friends, pray for those that the Lord would come and manifest his gracious power and change them and bring them to himself through his grace and show to them his great salvation in Jesus. We must pray for this. But we pray for this in our little company together. That the Lord, that, do you know what the blessing is indeed in respect of the Lord's promise? That he will dwell in the midst of his people. And that is a blessing. And this is something that we should pray for to the Lord. That he will never leave his presence from us. It is so important. It's the presence of his love and the presence of his grace, the presence of his truth, the presence of his mercy, the presence of salvation. Pray that it will never leave us. Now the words of our text may draw each of our hearts to the dear Lord Jesus. Because our beginning began in heaven. And that is the difference, dear friends. That is the difference. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Paul, when he preached the gospel to these at Thessalonica, then it was the Lord, the Holy Spirit, that began to work in them, but also to prepare their hearts to receive this word. And this is what Paul is thanking the Lord for his mercy that came to them, brought them to himself. I thought of a word just when I was thinking about this, and it is a word of promise, that the promise of the Lord came to them. I thought of that word in Isaiah chapter 11, and where truly declared there is the precious truths of Jesus. That there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. But there is a wonderful truth in verse 10. And in that day, do believe it to be a gospel day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Dear friends, that came to pass, didn't it, here? To it shall the Gentiles seek. That gospel was preached. And their poor hearts, dear friends, were moved towards it. They were changed. They were brought to see their need as sinners. And this is the wonderment to Paul and to all of us. To see this change, to behold it in the soul of a sinner. One deserving the eternal wrath of God. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, that God dwelleth in their hearts, in faith and his spirit, and that this deceivableness that is found in religion today shall not come to them, shall not come to us. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, that the Lord has kept them, that the Lord has preserved them, that the Lord has watched over them, that the Lord worketh in their hearts graciously, that the Lord continues to be a witness in their souls, his visitations to them, his word and his truth to them. He gives tokens in their hearts, you see, and it's a token of that work of grace. It's a token of eternal life, his word and his truth. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you. Oh, that he will preserve them. Oh, that he will undertake their whole cause and interest, the whole of his care upon them. You see, oh, they're under the blessing and the truth that it is God that is ruling and reigning in their hearts and in their lives. And that faith, that God-given faith that is given to them, oh, it is that faith that is able to keep them, an overcoming faith, preserved and kept. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, that they have not been left to a reprobate mind, but that the Lord, through his word, will keep them and maintain them and preserve them, bring them often into the joy and the blessing and the pleasure of his gospel grace, feed them with spiritual bread, meat and drink in Christ Jesus. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you. Do we not give thanks, you see, today to God, that it is he alone that will keep us and preserve us, watch over us? The difference is, dear friends, that he began with us. And friends, not one shall perish, not one shall be lost. No, think of the wonderment of that word. I preached from it a short while ago. I believe it must have been the first time I preached from it, but it's often quoted. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, dear friends. Perish, be lost, that's what it means, be lost. But redemption through Jesus, eternal life through him, should not perish but have everlasting life. Wonderful word. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, beloved of the Lord. What a wonderful word this is. I did think that those hymns, this is the difference, dear friends. We did sing together. From this there can be no exempt, is God's own wise decree. Satan, the weakest saint, will tempt, nor is the strongest free. Well, the world opposes from without, an unbelief within. We fear, we faint, we grieve, we doubt, and feel the load of sin. 10,000 baits the foe prepares to catch the wandering heart, and seldom do we see the snares before we feel the smart. But this blessing, though we are feeble, Christ is strong. His promises are true. We shall be conquerors all ere long, and more than conquerors too. It is Jesus that will bring us through our course, dear friends. It will Jesus that will help us to enable to hold on by faith. Faith to embrace him. Faith to hold fast to his truth and steadfast. This truth then, it is the Lord that began with us. Brethren, beloved of the Lord. It was God's love that began. It is a sovereign love. You see, it cannot be a love, dear friends, that these that are deluded here, these here who follow Satan and all his devices and all his craft and all the feigned faith of religion today, it was a solemn truth I heard in the week that the Queen has given her consent to all faiths. It's very sad, dear friends. There is one faith, one love, one hope. It planted in the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel, his salvation for sinners. Beloved of the Lord, it is sovereign love. His love, dear friends, towards a people. And we think of this love, and we may have quoted this before, but it is a truth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. It is that love that is in himself. And he did love a people. And it is from before the foundation of the world. In eternity, he loved a people. And he loved a people that would become his own people. And he made every arrangement in respect of them in the covenant of grace. But it is a love that will never depart from them. Once his love is fixed upon a poor sinner, nothing can alter it, nothing can change it. Yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. And that love, friends, it cannot be altered. Beloved of the Lord, think of it. There's nothing more beautiful. And then it is a free love. And a free love in this sense. That whilst we were backsliding, whilst we were far from him in respect of our sins, I will heal their backslidings and love them freely. Think of it. Whilst we were in our sins, backsliding, turned our back upon him as Israel did. And yet, see this, the mercy, the compassion. I will heal their backslidings and love them freely. And then it is a love that is immutable. See it in Jesus, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the end. Oh, dear friends, a love that can never be severed, can never be broken. More than conquerors, the hymn writer said. We should be more than conquerors. We should come through our course. But there is a truth in respect of this love. Sometimes, dear friends, we cannot put a description upon it. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were yet sinners. Think of that, dear friends. He loved us, though we were dead in trespasses and in sins. Think of this love. And then the blessedness of what God prepared for those whom he did love. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Every arrangement fully purposed in the covenant of his grace, Father, Son, and Spirit, all united and in harmony in the salvation of that guilty, ruined sinner, that one who sins, reached to heaven, dear friends. Yes, every arrangement made. And dear friends, this love of our God will come into their poor souls. In these words of our text, beloved of God, we have the arrangement then prepared. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. This salvation, all designed perfectly in the covenant of God's grace. Nothing can fail, dear friends, in that covenant of grace, the perfection of it. the ordering of God's love. And then this salvation in the second and blessed glorious Trinity of Persons, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then God the Holy Spirit. I was speaking on the telephone to one of the Lord's aged deacons a few weeks ago. And we know the late George Rose, he was then a pastor at Garstang, but he used to come and minister to the northern chapels. And this deacon went to hear him one evening at one of the chapels. Concluding the service, he went to the bus stop outside to catch his bus. So it was during the war years, I think. Much transport was by coach and train in those days. But George Rose also came to the bus stop. And of course, the conversation was spiritual. But he mentioned an especial truth, and it remained in his mind always. This aged deacon that spoke to me, he said this, in respect of the, obviously they were speaking of the Trinity of Persons, and he said this, now, it's God that loved you. You see, the words of our text, beloved of God. And then he said this truth, it's the Holy Spirit that works in you. And then he said, following that, he said, it's Christ that came and did everything for you. And he never forgot those words. You see, there was nothing left for the sinner to do. Do we understand this covenant of God's grace? The perfection of it, dear friends? How it shall be purposed? How it shall come to pass? The very root and foundation of it, friends? It was laid in heaven. Think of that great number whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Could it ever be possible, dear friends, that one of those names should be erased? Never. Beloved of God. And it is here, in the words of our text, I believe. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Predestinated, dear friends, given to Christ in the beginning. And Christ came then, didn't he, into this world. If I just think of those words in first chapter of Ephesians, then we might understand this truth. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You see, predestinated. Unto the adoption of children. Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Well, Jesus came. And this is the perfection of God's covenant of grace, where it should not fail. It is said of Jesus, I will give thee to be a covenant of the people. So he is the covenantee. And friends, the whole, shall I say, design and purpose of the covenant of grace could never fail. It was purposed here that there was a few who would believe, and we read it together in the Acts of the Apostles. Those that believed. And what was revealed? What was preached? What was the word? Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. Must needs have suffered. Can we see the perfection of this covenant of God's grace? In gathering each and every one whom God loved and did elect and chose from before the foundation of the world, they will be brought in, they will be gathered in. every one of them. What a mercy it is to be found inside of this word, one of those whom God had a purpose of grace to. You know, it says of Jesus in another place, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. My covenant is with him. The perfection of it, the undertaking of it, the work of it, Jesus came to fulfill, to accomplish at Calvary. You know, dear friends, that I worked in industry, in mechanics, in design, and the draftsmen used to come many times into our little workshop. He had designed a mechanism, but he was unsure whether it would work. And we used to have to build a mock-up, something in the likeness of it, in the nearness of it, and prove it first. You see, well, oftentimes, without any doubt, we had to make changes. We had to make things with a long-term object in view. It's continuance and its purpose. Dear friends, this is a covenant that shall never fail. Not one part of it, friends, could ever be broken or ever miss. And this is the love of God to his people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus came. And every name, Jesus said, rejoice to his disciples that your names are written in heaven. Dear friends, how are those names going to remain there written in heaven? You see, the saints today, in their sins and iniquities, however can they be recovered? However can they be brought out of their sins and iniquities? However can they be brought to God? It is through Jesus and his cross. And friends, when we consider Saul of Tarsus, that grace came to him. The covenant of grace did not fail. No, it stopped him in his mad career. This is the salvation. There's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It is what Jesus came and wrought for us at Calvary's tree. Those awful sufferings, dear friends, that he passed through, the wounds and the bruises, he hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Yes, the church. And Jesus willingly and lovingly laid down his life for everyone whom God the Father gave to him. And this is the mercy. A full and a free salvation. In the person of Jesus, and he came to save unto the uttermost. Can we not see again the completeness, the perfectness, shall we say, of the covenant of God's grace? It was intended that each and every one whom God loved, that they should be gathered to him by adoption. And this adoption is through the Lord Jesus Christ, reconciled unto God the Father, and their portion in heaven. Oh, this is the blessing, the words of our text. And then we have to come to this truth. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. We have to give thanks unto God because we were loved of God. We have to give thanks unto God for that he provided and gave this salvation to us. And it was through the preaching of the gospel that salvation came to this church at Thessalonica. We have to give thanks to God that he is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And friends, this is a hope, surely, for any poor sin-afflicted sinner. Salvation in Jesus. From the beginning, chosen you to salvation. Can it fail, dear friends? Worked out in eternity. Come to pass in the fullness of time, in our experience. This salvation came to us in this way, through sanctification of the Spirit, the work of God, the Holy Spirit. And this is another truth so essential and so needful today, that it will never be left in the hands of man to come to God, and which is in so much religion today. Through sanctification of the Spirit. This sanctification of the Spirit, when the Lord will meet with his people as he did these, the preaching of Paul, and that sanctification of the Spirit is the beginning of regeneration, the work of grace begun, and it will not fail because of the words of our text. Beloved of God, it cannot change. He will come to each and every one whom he loved eternally. He came to the 500 pence debtor. He came to the woman of Samaria. He came to the Ethiopian eunuch. Dear friends, there must be some hope, dear friends, if we have come to the Lord's house today, for our poor souls. He came, dear friends, to gather sinners to himself. That is the truth. And none, dear friends, shall fail to come to the blessedness of this salvation whom he gave to Jesus through sanctification of the Spirit. It is a being made meet. Being made meet. I just thought of that word in Ezekiel chapter 11. And it is a work of the Spirit begun in the soul of a sinner. It says, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances. Dear friends, being made meet, the heart being prepared through the Holy Spirit to receive Jesus and his salvation. And friends, there will be a great removing. We will be brought to nothing, dear friends. This is the wonderful mercy of the covenant of God's grace. You see, it is with Father, Son, and Spirit, the salvation of a sinner. There's nothing for the sinner to do, as I've said. But they will be made willing in the day of his power. They will be brought to nothing in and of themselves. They will be taught by the Holy Spirit their sins and iniquities. Nature will never teach us that, dear friends. We will go on in our sins left in our nature. But the Holy Spirit, friends, will teach us the solemn truth of our sins. And it will bring us low, dear friends. When we are brought in guilty, we will be brought low. We will be brought to nothing, dear friends. We will be made ready to receive Christ and that mercy through his blood, that blood that cleanses, that blood that heals, that blood that removes all guilt and defilement, the precious infinite blood of Jesus, made willing in the day of his power. It is the Holy Spirit, dear friend, that will teach us and show us our need as sinners, and what a mercy to be brought to that low place and that humble place where he will give repentance for the remission of sins. Oh, this is the blessedness of the preaching of the gospel. And friends, if the Lord has begun, oh, it's the greatest mercy. I know when the Lord began with me, dear friends, I've never failed to thank him, you see. This truth in the words of our text here, but we're bound to give thanks always to God for you. Oh, when the Lord will teach us the solemn truth of our sin, that we bear an Adam nature. You know, soon as Adam sinned and offended against God, dear friends, he became a sinner. He lost everything. No spiritual life whatsoever. He was dead and dark. And the wrath of God rested upon him. But the mercy, the seed of the woman, Jesus here, from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. What a mercy it is. And friends, when the Holy Spirit has taught us our sins and drawn us to Christ, and God-given faith to receive the testimony of Christ and the witness of Christ in our poor souls as our Saviour and Redeemer, that will be the blessing and the mercy. But then it will be a holy life, sanctification of this, separated from this world, separated from our sins, you see, separated from the yoke of Satan, separated, dear friends, unto God himself. We are his people, a holy people unto the Lord, to walk in his word and in his truth. And friends, we will be praying for this holiness and godliness all our days and all our lives hence, dear friend, to be more like unto Jesus. Oh, we want to know more of his likeness, dear friends. We want to serve him. And friends, you know, his commandments are not grievous. No, the gospel yoke, dear friends, is an easy and a comfortable yoke to bear, isn't it, dear friends? It is a comfortable and an easy yoke. It's a constraining yoke, dear friends. You see, that love that God showed to us is reciprocated. We love him because he first loved us. And friends, we seek for that love in our hearts, day by day, that it might be manifested. And then that fear of the Lord in the heart that spoken of in Jeremiah 32, I will put my fear into their hearts that they shall not depart from me. Oh, dear friends, that they shall not depart from me. This truth then, through sanctification of the Spirit, to seek and to pray for a holy and a godly life, to live by faith upon him, to serve him according to his word and his truth, to walk in his ordinances, and belief of the truth. Well, this is the rich mercy, isn't it? That God-given faith to believe and to receive Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. The belief of the truth. And Jesus is the truth, isn't he? He is the gospel. He is the fullness of the gospel. Jesus is the truth. I just thought this morning that of those words that that Pilate asked of the Lord Jesus. But this is the truth of the word that I just want to make known. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Can we see, dear friends, this unfailing covenant of God's grace, the wonderment of it, dear friends? Not one poor seeking sinner will ever be lost, but they will come. One brought to the knowledge of their sin, they will be brought to this place. They that are of the truth, they were of the truth from before the foundation of the world. But it is the experience of it in time, and it is the experience of it in our souls. Eyes, God worked his truth into our hearts, the truth of Jesus, the truth that shall make us free. Well, dear friends, this is the blessing and belief of the truth. And then Jesus is the truth. He is the faithful witness. He came and fulfilled all that was prophesied and spoken of him. He came and fulfilled all the types and the ceremonies, the sacrifices. He fulfilled all. He is the truth, the faithful witness. Well, dear friends, we want that witness in our poor souls. And it is a witness of what Jesus came to do. And when we think of Isaiah 53, dear friends, it was for the transgressors, the sinners, those that were far out of the way. But what a mercy that the truth shall make you free. Oh, the blessedness of that gospel liberty through the cross of Christ. Oh, may each and every one here, oh, be found inside of this blessing, inside of this covenant of God's grace, and not to be left, friends, to deception, to Satan. There is a withholding of the Spirit today, but dear friends, pray that the Lord will work in and amongst us mightily and effectually and powerfully, and that there may be here a growing in grace and knowledge of him, but also an enlargement in numbers and everyone. Dear friends, seek it with all thy being, all thy strength and all thy soul. Seek to be found inside of the words of our text, because, friend, it is that is opposite to those in the previous verses. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that the Lord will not leave us to ourselves, and to turn from him, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Dear friends, look to this word. Pray to be a part of it. Oh, may the Lord come to us. But I want to speak later from those from a further upon this truth. And it says in verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. That is another important truth, to be steadfast and to hold fast. And I want to take another text this evening, if the Lord will, and open up that truth to us, that we might receive a further blessing, if it be the Lord's will. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £770, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Ince will address Sunday school this afternoon. Mr. Richard Field will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Stephen Hyde will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 350. Ye pilgrims of Zion, and chosen of God, whose spirits are filled with dismay. Since ye have eternal redemption through blood, ye cannot but hold on your way. Hymn 350.
Thank you.
and bless thy word amongst us. Give unto us thankful hearts for the grace that saved us. May thy name have the glory and the praise. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.